Hello, and thank you for tuning in. You are listening to BikeRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.BikeRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Rasha, and we'll be talking about her new book, A Journey to Oneness, and also about her brand new email series. In A Journey to Oneness, Rasha takes us on a fascinating seven-year odyssey as she shares the incredible story of her own spiritual journey. This vivid literary tapestry gives us a candid glimpse into the depths of the awakening process and takes us for an authentic ride on the roller coaster of spiritual transformation. The divine wisdom of oneness, woven throughout, conveys a deep sense of a sacred that each reader shares on an intimate, personal level. Rich with divine insight, A Journey to Oneness gives us a vibrant new vision of the nature of humanness and an in-depth guide to discovering the divinity within. You can find out more about Rasha and her book by visiting her website, which is onenesswebsite.com. And I do have a direct link to Rasha's website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Rasha to the show. Good day, Rasha. Thank you for joining me.
Hello. Thank you so much for inviting me to be here with you.
Well, I am very happy to be here. And now you are visiting us in the States from India, correct?
I am. I've been here for the autumn season this year.
Well, that's good. And now for those of you listening, if you want to contact Rasha again, she'll be here in the States through November 3rd, up to November 3rd, and you can reach her through her website. So just wanted to give that out for people to kind of do like a little bit.
That's
I'm sure they can contact you when you're back in India, but you know, when you're in the States.
Email works all over the world.
Absolutely. So, well, you know, you were on my show, gosh, last year, but what I'd like to do with for people who may not have listened to that show is for you to give just a bit of a background about yourself and how it is that you that oneness became such a focus of yours.
Well, this source that I know as oneness is actually a source that's very dear to each of us because it's who we really are. And I was very blessed to be able to connect with that source, and I started transcribing divine teachings from that source in 1997. The result of that was a book that's quite well known called, appropriately, Oneness. And it has become kind of a spiritual foundation for a lot of people who are on a spiritual quest but wanting to do it outside of the structure of a traditional path. So these teachings that I brought through are empowering for a person who really wants to take the reins in their own hands and have the experience of divine connectedness for themselves, not just to read about it in books, but actually go on the journey. That's what these books are about. And that's the focus of the information in them, is how to do that, how to do it well and with grace.
Yeah. Now, you say that you connect to the source of oneness. Now, would that be in some people's definition, God or source or the universal
yes.
spirit or greater consciousness. So that's
by a million other
that
names.
Is,
yes, that's, many people refer to this as God. I was given the name oneness, and I asked that question, like, why don't we just say God? And they said, the word God is preset and ready to detonate. Everybody's got an idea of what God is and what God isn't. And if anybody defines it differently, then, of course, they're wrong. So they chose the name oneness because it's not going to offend anybody's beliefs. It's a neutral term
yeah.
that really wraps up what the essence of this source is without stepping into anybody else's territory. So that was the name
yeah.
I was given for this source. But we think of it as, you know, the all-encompassing, whatever you want to call it, but also that very presence within each of us, the divinity within
mm-hmm.
each of us, we refer to as oneness. So it's both the all that is in the larger sense and the personal sense of the sacred within each of us that so many people would love to get in touch with these days. And
yeah.
my new
well,
book
you know,
was
is,
my experience of
yeah.
it, how I got in touch with it.
Yeah. Well, you know, that is very much, I've found to be the case, is that people right now, you know, are searching for that connection. A lot of people who
yeah.
made me, you know, through, you know, conditioning or society or whatever, have found, you know, our connection to be fragmented and not very consistent.
Yeah, that is true. People are searching for meaning in their lives more than anything else. And
yeah.
for a sense of purpose, like, what is this all about? People, I think, are very disillusioned with the way life is turning out, and they're wanting to dig deeper for
yeah.
for something to tie it all together, something to give their lives a sense of purpose. It's not just chasing the almighty dollar. And I think
yeah,
people are successful more than others who are kind of stuck in the survival mode. But once people have succeeded and they have all the lovely things of life and they're still feeling like something is missing, that opens the big questions of what's really going on with me. What do I really
yeah.
want?
Yeah, that is, you know, that is very true. I mean, the idea of money can't buy happiness, you know, that is, you know,
mm-hmm.
very a common saying. But now, when you talked about the journey to oneness is a method of connecting that is outside the structure or outside the typical path.
Well, a journey to oneness is the title of my new book, and that is actually
mm-hmm.
my personal journey. It
mm-hmm.
was a 7-year chronology of what happened to me when I started transcribing
mm-hmm.
these teachings for the book that's titled Oneness. At the same time, I was going on my own spiritual journey. And I was documenting other material that I thought was just for me. 3,000 pages
yeah.
of it, of my dialogues with oneness. I would go through my daily life and I would fall on my face and then I would go back to the computer and complain to oneness, like, what's going on? Why is my life such a mess if I have all these answers? And they would give me these brilliant explanations of all of these things. So it started to make sense for me. I never dreamed that any of this would ever get printed. This was just, you know, my personal conversations. And then many years later, I was told that this would be the foundation of a book. And I balked. I said, no way, that's very personal. I'm not printing that. And we argued about it for years, but eventually I saw the universality in what I had written and realized, my God, this is not just for me, and had to come to the point of surrender to it and let the chips fall where they may. People can think what they want to think of this, and some of it is extremely candid, but the teachings will ring true to everybody. That's what was so fascinating to me, as I get these emails from people all over the world who are telling me, you just told me the story of my life. I'm thinking, how is this possible? Yeah. That was the story of my life. But I started to see the common thread that's running through so many of our lives in these times, that there is a commonality of what's happening to people, that they're, you know, things are falling apart in people's personal lives, for example. Often people are doing career changes. People's relationships sometimes are shifting or ending. There's a lot of loss going on for a lot of people. That's part of what was happening in my life in those days. This is, we're going back 15, 20 years when this was happening. But I started to understand why that was happening in my life, and to realize that it wasn't necessarily a bad thing, that it was creating a space for something much bigger and more relevant to come in. And had I not been shoved to let go of all that other stuff I was clinging to, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. I would have still been in the old rut. So,
I know, boy. You know, and that's, to me, I mean, what I loved about, and for those of you listening, it is, Rasha's book is probably one of the largest books, 50 pages books that I have ever received.
Yes.
As,
The Journey to Oneness, yes, it's 560 pages.
It is. It's
but,
quite
a
read.
But it's a tapestry. It's not only trials and tribulations.
Yeah.
It's mostly the divine guidance that oneness gave within the context of a person's life. Like, so it makes it relevant. It's not just preachy teachings. It's in answer to a situation that a person was going through. That's the guidance that came to help them make sense of it. So it's very meaningful because it's not just theory. It's actually relevant to particular situations that everyone could relate to. And
That's the thing that I like about it. Now, the whole idea of, you know, writing about yourself and then kind of publishing it and becoming vulnerable to criticism, to comments, to all kinds of supportive feedback.
Yeah. Luckily, there has been very little criticism. People are saying wonderful things about this book. Who knows? Maybe the people who don't love it didn't write.
Well,
but if you look on Amazon, there's some pretty wonderful reviews of both of these books.
And it is. Yeah, that's the one thing. I mean, you know, as an author, you know, when you write a book, you know, you do open yourself up to, and the saving grace, so to speak, of it is when you get, you know, you get that positive feedback. You get that email from someone that says, you know, what you wrote about, I am living, and you know, to see that you have gone through it gives me hope that I can too go through that.
Yeah, it's true. And the book Oneness, that was the precursor to it, you know, has gone on to become a spiritual classic. Not that it was ever promoted, because I never promoted any of it. I was hiding in India. But people are gifting this book to other people all over the world, and it sold over 100,000 copies on its own. It's got a destiny of its own, and I just got out of the way and let it do its thing.
Well, that's great. Yeah, that's
wonderful.
It's wonderful. Yeah.
Now, it helps people make sense of their lives. It gives people a roadmap on where this world is going and where each of us is going individually, why there's so much change going on, and how to get a handle on this, what to do to shift the old patterns and really confront the emotions that people are stuffing and not expressing, and some of those kinds of things that are stumbling blocks to the progress that people would love to be making on their spiritual quests. It really addresses a lot of very personal stuff and tells you how to deal with it and how to stop making the same mistakes and to move forward more rapidly.
Yeah, you know, that was one of the things. I mean, I had a discussion with a friend this morning about that very topic. Now, one of the topics in Oneness was peeling back the layers of emotional density that have been dormant for lifetimes. So, I mean, that, and it seems that during these times that there is a lot of that emotional attachment or experience that is surfacing, and people are either working to clear it, you know, if we're proactive, or they're finding themselves in that cycle of reaction, and it's creating difficulty from what I've seen, you know, people dealing with that.
Mm. It's a matter of, first of all, recognizing the patterns, the common threads that are running through your life, because I don't know about you, but I surely had the same old thing happening over and over again, and most people do. Different names and faces, but there's a pattern to the kinds of experiences we have in our lives, and that's the stuff that we came into this lifetime to work on. This book helps us to recognize that there is an underlying emotion that is keyed into a lot of these dramas. What emotion are you trying to get to as a soul? What is this calculated to trigger in you that you're not allowing yourself to feel deeply? So when you step back from the literal interpretation of some of the illustrations of your life and you start to look for, what am I supposed to be feeling with this? You start to see what's going on with you. Is this a lifetime where you're dealing with unresolved grief? Are you dealing with anger issues? Are you dealing with sadness issues? And there is a definite pattern. Oneness calls this your life themes. So when you start to be able to identify what the pattern is in your life, then you can start to address those emotions and those patterns and to be able to release some of this pent-up energy that you're holding that's actually drawing these categories of experience to you over and over and over again. It's because you haven't really dealt with it. You haven't really let it go. And so, lo and behold, here it comes again in a different package, in a different form, but basically it's the same stuff. So the book deals in depth with that.
Yeah, I want to kind of, if you wouldn't mind, talk a little bit more about that, because that was a discussion that I had recently with someone, too, about the triggers, you know, the triggering that happens in the response. Now, when that happens, and I've had it happen, I'll probably continue to have it happen, you know, but I think that's the process is, you know, when it does, is to kind of examine the emotion. So, For those listening, if they find themselves in a situation where something happens and they have an immediate emotional response, and generally, it's a heightened either negativity or anxiousness or, you know, I mean, generally if we
or
have
they get
a trigger
upset.
Of happiness.
They get upset about something. The challenge is to call a timeout in that moment and not just go through a knee-jerk reaction to some of these triggers, which are what these situations are, but say, okay, what emotion am I supposed to be feeling in this case? And here's where you don't want to be putting a log on the fire and building, escalating an electromagnetic charge around an emotion that you're trying to put out. Here's where you learn to step back from a situation and maybe not respond in the particular way. Maybe let it go.
Okay. So now what you said, I agree that, you know, when it happens, and I do that now, try to step aside and kind of not immediately have a knee-jerk reaction. But you said to ask, you know, what emotion should I have? Now, my question is that, like, if I have something that happens that makes me angry, let's say, I step aside and I say, okay, if I were to ask, like, what emotions should I be having? This is, again, I'm kind of thinking out loud here. My impulse may be, I should be angry, but maybe, or I should,
yeah, what
you know,
emotion is,
be calm
is,
or peaceful.
Is trying to come forth? What would normally
okay,
be stimulated
there, okay.
by these circumstances?
Okay.
That's what I meant.
Okay. Okay, great. Yeah, I just wanted
and then
to,
you have a choice.
I,
do you okay. give vent to that? Do you
mm-hmm.
allow a full-blown episode to come forth?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe not, because that's going to attract more of the same. That's going to build it.
Yeah.
So the answer is to feel it deeply, to allow yourself to
okay.
feel it, and then choose to let it go. Let it go.
Okay.
So somebody cuts you off in traffic, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could stop your car, get out, and give the guy what he's asking for. Punch him in the nose,
uh-huh.
sell him off. You could do that. But
what's
that going to get for you? That's you. First of all, you're going
yeah.
to lose your energy, and it's going to
yeah.
escalate the situation vibrationally. So
right.
in that moment, allow yourself to feel the anger that is stimulated in a natural way, and then choose
mm-hmm.
to let it go. It's like,
okay.
all right, is this really important enough for me to get myself all worked up about? Chances are the answer
mm-hmm.
is no. And let
right.
it go. Whatever. The guy was being a jerk, and I don't need to give this my energy and make a whole war over this. And when you consistently reprogram yourself to respond
mm-hmm.
in a more detached way, you start to notice that these repeat experiences stop happening because
mm-hmm.
you have let the electromagnetic charge that's drawing these kinds of experiences to you to dissipate. So there's nothing left with which to draw forth that category of experience anymore. Ultimately, it stops happening. The same
okay.
old stops happening. That's the point you want to get to. Because you,
okay.
then you no longer have issues on that subject.
Yeah.
So then
yeah.
you can enjoy other kinds of experiences, because these bothersome experiences that are haunting you aren't there constantly. That's what you
yeah.
want to bring about. And the book Oneness deals in depth about this subject and how to do it. How you do it well. And
yeah.
I would highly recommend people considering getting into this line of exploration of what's going on with them. Because these episodes can be intense, really intense,
yeah.
and enough already.
Really, I know. Well, you know, and I understand, you know, completely the, let's see, for me, you know, somebody cutting me off, I have absolutely no effect on me. I don't care one way or the other. To me, it's, you know, but I know someone who does get very, agitated with that. And I just kind of sit back and smile to myself thinking, you know, if that's what you want, if you want to elevate your blood pressure, you know, go for it, you know, but I'm choosing not to, and it doesn't mean that to me. But, you know, one of the aspects, I think the important aspect of this is that, you know, we have the experience of the emotion and feeling it. And then that should be, from what I understand, you know, the best way to move forward is then have a detachment from that trigger, correct?
Eventually, when you've gone through
yeah.
enough episodes of this, you don't respond in a way that will make it worse.
Mm-hmm.
You allow yourself to feel it. You don't stuff it and pretend it's not there and sweep the emotion under the rug. That's going to continue to call forth the same old stuff. So you want to allow yourself
mm-hmm.
to feel it deeply, but not to the point where you blow up and make a full-blown episode out of it, because that's going to make it worse.
Okay.
Does that make some sense?
Oh, wait. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, oh,
yeah,
very much so.
So
you know,
that's just one of many, many principles that the book Oneness deals with, but that's a key one. The need to be right is another one. Everybody goes to battle because they know they're right and that other person is definitely wrong. And they make a big fight over things that you could also let go. This all distills down to the human need to be right and to defend at all costs your position. Is it possible that the other guy is right too? From his point of view?
I know.
He's also right.
It's like there's, you know, according to some, there's only one truth, and that's their truth, you know. And
each of us has our own truth.
Not the case. Yeah, exactly.
So,
that's
some of what it deals with. And then you take it from the personal level to the world view of each of us makes a contribution in these times.
Yeah.
And how collectively we're creating this mess we think of as our world. And what to do about that. How to really tune in on what kind of vote are you casting onto the ethers today? And to really be aware of that because, you know, it's all energy. And if each of us is projecting energy onto the ethers, we are all experiencing the collective of all of that. So what's the way to shift what's going on in the world if you don't like it? Don't start pointing fingers at the other people. Look at what you're putting out there and take responsibility for that. When you realize the contribution that you make, you become very aware of the subtleties of energy that you encounter during your day and what you are adding to the collective. So that's huge, taking responsibility for your own personal vote.
Yeah, exactly. You know, gosh, we're almost halfway through the show already, so I want to take a real quick break, and then when we come back, a couple of the areas I want to explore a little bit further. You know, you just kind of led into the idea of, you know, us being the co-creator of our circumstances. So I'd like to talk a little bit about that. And then there's one thing that was in the book, Oneness, that I really want to talk about, and it's the fallacy of forgiveness. I know. Oh, boy. Well, that one is, and I'll tell you after break exactly why I really want to kind of talk about that. So, but everyone, stay tuned. We'll be right back in about 2 minutes.
Hi, it's Maya at Mind Over Matter in Nyack, New York. I'd just like to take a moment to share with you how amazing I found Robert Sharpe's book, Joy Potential. It kind of found me at a time when I was feeling out of sorts and overwhelmed and I guess derailed by the pressures of my career and my large family and caregiving and ailing husband. I just really felt like my spark was dimming. It was a perfect time for me to pick up Joy Potential because as I just in the first few pages began to read, I found that my frame of mind wasn't so different from others dealing with challenges and the trials and tribulations of life. I guess my first feeling was that I wasn't alone, and with that I began to open more to receive the message that Robert gave of light and love and positive thinking. That's what Joy Potential is all about. His thoughts are beautifully written, and everyone, whether you're going through your own personal challenges, should read it. His message was certainly well received from me, and I'm thankful for his insight and his caring and really helping me to get back on track. I think everyone should put Joy Potential on the top of their reading list. Love and light. Thank you.
Join Maya and discover that you are not alone and that a world of joy awaits you. To get your copy of Joy Potential, visit www.joybook.me. Buy it, read it, and start living a life that's happier, more peaceful, and one where you maximize the joy potential that life has to offer. Again, visit www.joybook.me. That's joybook.me now.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. And again, thank you to Maya for that testimonial. And just as a reminder, my book, Joy Potential, as well as the new book called It's No Secret, Spirituality Bites, are available at my website, www.biteradio.me, and also my brand new 2015 Dare to Dream calendar is also available there. Okay, well, back to today's show. And again, my very special guest is Rasha. And we are talking about her book, A Journey to Oneness. You can find out more about Rasha and her book by visiting her website, which is www.onenesswebsite.com. And I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. And also, Rasha has a free email series that you can sign up for. So we're back, Rasha, and I would love for you to tell the listeners a little bit about your email series.
Okay. This latest series actually is one of three that are offered on the website, and they're absolutely free. The latest series are the very most powerful quotations from the book A Journey to Oneness. We selected 160 of them, and they are illustrated with breathtaking photography. And you receive them two or three times a week for a year. It helps people to focus on particular concepts, so you can print it out and stick it on the fridge or share it with a friend who really needs to hear that message today, or any number of ways that you can enjoy and find value in these quotes. The other two series, one is the Wisdom of Oneness Messages, and that's the same idea from the book Oneness. There are 58 in that series. And then there's another audio email series that's a one-minute meditation of my voice reading from the audio book. You can close your eyes and hear one of the most powerful paragraphs in the book Oneness. And that's another audio email series that you can sign up for. I wouldn't suggest you sign up for all three at once because that would be too many emails at the same time. But pick one. They are just gorgeous, and people love them. Thousands of people are receiving these on a daily basis.
Great. Wonderful.
A couple times a week, at very least.
Well, that's great.
And that's oneswebsite.com. You can sign up for that.
Perfect. So everybody sign up and start becoming inspired. okay, well, now I'd like to, first of all, the reason I want to talk about the, you have one topic called the fallacy of forgiveness. Now, the reason that I'd love for, I'd like to talk about that for a little bit and get your view is I just signed, or I just booked someone for a show next month. And it's a judge, a sitting judge, and she has a book, Bouncing Back After Dropping the Ball, 18 Lessons on the Journey of Forgiveness. And I thought, well, you know, this is really interesting, a judge writing about forgiveness. So, and I wondered, you know, I mean, I can't wait to talk to her to find out exactly how that all fits together. But I would love, you know, to get your opinion and view on the idea of forgiveness, about the fallacy of forgiveness.
Well, there's tremendous power in forgiveness, but what one is called the fallacy of forgiveness is you take it beyond forgiveness. Forgiveness is still hanging on to the idea of culpability, that somebody was wrong and that you were right. And despite the fact that you were right and they were wrong, you're being nice about it, and you're technically giving lip service to letting that be okay, but you're still holding on to the duality of the right and the wrong. I think what oneness went into on that issue was to step into a place of allowance for the fact that many different viewpoints exist, and that from a higher perspective, all possibilities are there. And so you come to a point of detachment from issues that you have on the rightness or wrongness of particular categories of experience. You become the witness. You get into a state of allowance that... The things that transpired when they did way they did for a reason.
Yeah.
Just let it go.
And I understand. Yeah, I understand, you know, the idea. I mean, you know, it makes sense, you know, from a perspective of oneness, you know, that of the idea of whatever happens is just an experience, period, you know, and
exactly.
Like no one was necessarily right or wrong. Yeah, it sure is. Now, see,
it's hard to do that on a day-to-day basis. And yet, if you were applying these oneness principles to it, that's the point that it just hoped one gets to, where you can wash through the world in a state of detachment.
So I know that we can work on ourselves regarding forgiveness, you know, in the sense of if we feel someone has done us wrong, so to speak, you know, there is a feeling that is generated within us that someone, you know, did something that in a dualistic world would require forgiveness. But and I can understand, you know, this allowing whatever happened to happen and not really even requiring some forgiveness from someone. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So I can understand that part, you know, and the fact is that we would, you know, if we get into a circumstance where we feel we're owed an apology, to maybe just look at it from a higher perspective and feel it's like, well, you know, that's just what happened, you know, and really no apologies required, you know.
Yeah, there's another level to it also.
Okay.
That all things are destined. That's one thing. You were here to work on certain subjects. The person who wronged you actually did you a service on some levels because they took you to a place that as a soul you needed to get to be able to work on whatever the issues of this lifetime were. And that's a very tough concept to grasp. But sometimes we draw people into our lives that violate us or frustrate us or anger us in certain ways so that it helps us to reach that point within ourselves that we're able to feel what we haven't allowed ourselves to feel, whether it is the outrage or whatever it is. And this is a very, very difficult concept to wrap yourself around. And actually, that person, they say, was cast into your life script by you to do exactly that, to do what he did.
Yeah, I know. And I still sometimes wonder what I was doing with a casting call that I arranged, you know. But
exactly. We called in the nemesis, and we definitely cast the villain in our scripts many times.
Yeah.
But if you look back on these experiences, they were purposeful because there's a lot of growth that happens as a result of these calamities and intense experiences, the traumas of our lives.
Okay, so now let's say we're on our path and we are working on ourselves with regard to forgiveness. And we, you know, so we recognize, you know, that situations occur, giving rise to areas that we need to look at, and we look at it, you know, and then ultimately, let's say we are successful in being able to put it in a proper perspective, allowing ourselves to move on, not have any attachment to that. Okay. Now, what about a case when someone else feels that you've done them wrong? And, you know, are looking to you for an apology. Now, and the reason that I'm wondering this is because, I mean, in a dualistic world that we have, you know, from their perspective, you know, they were wrong. Apparently, they felt what you did was wrong, and what their perspective was right. Now, do you is it best to to try and explain, well, maybe there is no right and wrong, and so there like really is no need for an apology, or do
that
we...
That probably is not going to go down very well.
I know. So this is my point. So then do we then apologize, recognizing that, in a sense, we're
it would depend on the
credence?
Circumstances. It's hard to generalize about this. I would say, you know, if you've injured somebody's feelings, it would be important to communicate to that person that the intention was not to inflict harm. The point that if you were able to discuss it in the aftermath of it with detachment, to know that if it's true that you were coming from a sincere space in doing what happened. And if,
but, you know,
if you've done something horrible,
to, you know, just...
of course you should apologize for it.
Okay. So, you know, and it's just one of those things that, you know, as we work through the idea of forgiveness and, you know, or the idea that there really is no necessarily right or wrong with any particular circumstance, then, you know, it's kind of like, how do you balance the dual, sometimes the apparent duality of life for some people when you are trying to approach life from a oneness perspective?
That's a hard question. I think it depends on the circumstances.
Think about
it's very
all the time.
Hard to generalize. Very hard to generalize about this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
I know,
you know
each of us has done things
just,
that we regret.
Yeah.
Who hasn't done things that they wish, if you could only do it again, you would do it differently.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And maybe that's what needs to be communicated, that each of us has grown.
Okay. Well, you know, I appreciate that, you know, because, you know, those are the things that I think those of us who try and better ourselves, you know, to try and have a healthier view of life, of ourselves and our interconnectedness, you know, as we try and navigate that through a sometimes dense, dualistic, third-dimensional reality, you know, it can be sometimes hard to navigate. But anyway, so I guess the idea is that you do the best that you can with each circumstance and try and, you know, if you find yourself triggered, try and remove yourself, recognize, feel the emotion, detach from any, you know, further, don't allow it to affect
and
you.
And to accept
later
what
on.
Is. To accept what is. A lot of people are coming at not embracing what life has served them and wishing it could be otherwise and spending a lot of energy doing the what ifs and the, you know, if onlys and the I shoulds and all of the things that trip us up instead of seeing the gift in things being exactly the way they are and embracing the now. Not living in the past or in the future, but embracing what this moment has put before you and seeing the gift in that. That's empowering.
Yeah. And to do it without judgment, I would think.
Yeah.
Self-judgment.
Yeah, totally without judgment. Making yourself wrong or making the other person wrong.
Okay.
And when you
do
that,
well, I'm going to have a lively conversation with my judge next month. Sorry?
The circumstance sometimes turns itself around miraculously when you start stop invalidating it and just accept it as what it is. This is what it is.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Somehow it turns around and turns into something that's more to your liking when you stop making it wrong. And that's a major principle in the Oneness Teachings, and the books show you how that plays out when you stop fighting what you don't like about certain situations and just say, okay, this is how it is.
That's fine, And now one of the areas I also mentioned just before the break that I kind of wanted to touch on was the idea of us our energetic field as being the co-creator of our circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it also talks in the oneness book, not the journey one, but the oneness book, about becoming one's own frame of reference. So, I mean, to me, if you wouldn't mind talking about, I mean, they're probably, you know, loosely related, but, you know, the idea of ourselves as our own frame of reference and then how that fits into our energetic field.
I think you've taken that out of context.
I
think we find as we read these books that we become a living illustration of the principles. That I can tell you. Instead of looking around at what other people are doing or theoretically trying to grapple with certain principles that you see in these books that help you understand, you find that you are actually calling forth circumstances from real life that are illustrating what you just read. And that happens with these books a lot. There are there are triggers in these books that will stimulate actual living illustrations to come forth so that you're learning these ideas and these reprogrammings from your own life experience, not theoretically so you can believe it, but actually so you know it. You recognize that you become the textbook illustration of some of these things. I sure was, and that's what A Journey to Oneness, that book, is all about, is how I applied those principles and what happened when I did.
Now, you've obviously come into contact with a lot of people who are on a spiritual path or journey or working toward increasing or improving their perspective of life to be more satisfying. What are some of the challenges or some of the most common challenges that people are kind of coming to you with, you know, that maybe seems to be creating resistance to being able to follow that higher path?
I think a lot of people are bogging down when they have expectations about what's supposed to happen when they're on a spiritual path. And they think, because they've read a lot of books and they've attended a number of workshops, that somehow a switch is supposed to be flipped and suddenly they're going to be enlightened. I think there's a lot of disillusionment going on nowadays of people's expectations of what exactly is supposed to be happening to them.
Mm-hmm.
Where a lot of people are missing the boat is they are not actually going on the journey. They're reading about the journey. It's not unlike going into a restaurant and sitting down and reading the menu all night. That's not going to give you the taste. What you want to do is actually partake of it, and that calls for changing your life's priorities a little bit and making going on the spiritual journey something that you devote time to, instead of squeezing it in between the other things that are vying for your attention in life. And we've got very busy lives, all of us do. And sometimes meditation and prayer and spiritual practice, however you choose to express it, takes a back seat to our other obligations in life. That's where people fall down, because they're not devoting the time to it that it takes. You're not going to see the exquisite results in terms of joy that are possible if you don't actually devote time to a spiritual practice, no matter how that looks. And for each of us, it's going to be different. From my own spiritual practice, it involved a lot of mantra chanting and prayer and ceremony and ritual. That's what did it for me. Other people... some people say they get to a place of spiritual connectedness when they're out running, and that can be a spiritual practice in itself. However you choose to structure it, whatever gives you that sense of connecting with the sacred, That's what you want to do more of, to make that a priority in your life. And of course, meditation,
yeah.
It's the key to everything, in my opinion, and a lot of people's. Make time for it.
Use your spiritual practice.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, in the second book I did, which was, it kind of lists some insights from a lot of the guests that I've had on my show. You know, one of the things I just said as far as the spiritual path is stop searching for it. You're on it. You know what I mean? It's just a matter of what you do every day that'll determine whether it's a spiritual path or not.
You are what you're seeking. I know many people say that. But when people realize that this is your own essence, it's not out there. It's not other than you. You are able to relax and embrace it. And instead of looking outside of yourself for that sense of meaning, to start to dig within yourself. And that means getting quiet sometimes. Not just sitting in an audience and listening to somebody talk about philosophy. That's all well and good.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. And it puts things in perspective when you start having these phenomenal experiences. But listening to metaphysical theory is not going to produce the actual experience for you. It's going to give you a foundation in which to place that experience when you actually have one. When it happens, then you'll know what happened. But if you're going to workshop after workshop and expecting that's going to produce a sense of God connectedness, you will be disappointed because it doesn't work like that. Nobody is going to flip your switch and do it to you. That's not the way it works.
Hmm. Yeah.
You need to allow yourself to surrender, to be that vulnerable, to get that quiet. And then the exquisite, joyous moments do come forth from within your own depths. But you have to be willing to invite it. Your sacred self is not going to come pounding on your door. You need to make a holy space within yourself and invite it. That takes being vulnerable. You do that within the sanctity of your own self in a room that has a do not disturb on the door after you shut off the cell phone. That's when the magic happens.
Not necessarily in a group setting. Yeah, we have a listener in the chat room who made a comment. I wanted to kind of pass it on to you. Just get your opinion because I thought it was interesting. It's Jules, and she said that she talked about Donald Walsh talks about, we are already complete. You came that way. And was wondering if it's our ego or personality that thinks that we're less. This is interesting because, when we think of oneness and being, part of all that is, and also recognize that we're kind of like a teeny tiny subset of that, what's your opinion on, the idea of sometimes we have that perception of us being apart from and less than the whole?
Well, that's ridiculous. How can you be less than what you are? You can't be less than you are, fraction of what you are, or part of what you are. You are not the complete ocean, for sure, if you want to draw that analogy, and yet you are a drop in it. And if you ask the drop what its essence is, it can only answer, I am ocean. You are the essence of ocean, ocean being the totality. You surely are not the whole ocean. Nobody is.
Right.
But you want to get to the place where you identify with and experience that sacred core of yourself that knows itself as ocean, as the divine, as God. You want to peel back the layers of yourself that are the illusion of who you're not. All of these labels we stick on us and the the costumes we don and the identities that we think we're supposed to act out, that's the false sense. That's the ego. That peels away
mm-hmm.
as we go on a spiritual journey. And we start to recognize
okay.
that those are facets of how we express ourselves. But that's not the essence of who we are. Who we are goes
okay.
deeper than that. You want to get to that place of sacred center where all of the trappings of identity fall by the wayside, and then you stand there in your authenticity, in your essence, and you look at life through the very same eyes and see the world very differently. That's the opportunity
okay.
in a spiritual journey
okay.
to peel back the illusion and get to what's real.
And there we go. Well, we're down to the last few minutes here, Rasha. So I know this, the hour has flown by. It did last time you were on. We just get into this this deep thought and talk here.
Right.
But before we leave and before we have time, I just wanted to give you an opportunity to maybe give any final thoughts and words to our listeners. And then now, are you having any particular type of activities or anything while you're remaining here in the States for the next couple of weeks?
I'm going back to India in 2 weeks, so I think you know, it's run its course. I just came back from North Carolina
okay.
last night.
Okay.
But the activities are via the website. You can write to me through the website. And, of course, there are all of these beautiful things you can sign up for at onenesswebsite.com that are absolutely free that will help you to get in touch with the truth of who you really are and to realize who you're not. That's the gift in these teachings, is to help us to really go on this ride, not to intellectualize it and speculate about it and believe it or not believe it, but to know it. From your own experience
yeah.
of it. And the teachings of oneness help us to do it. They surely help me.
Really great. Well, thank you very much for being with me today. I really appreciate your time
thank
and enjoy
so
speaking
much.
With you.
Thank you so much for allowing me to be part of your program. This was great.
You're very welcome. Great. Again, everyone, my very special guest today has been Rasha. And she is author of two books, Oneness and A Journey to Oneness. And you can find out more about Rasha by visiting her website, which is onenesswebsite.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. And again, do sign up for one of her several email series. Go ahead and go to her website and explore. Find out which one best suits your needs and sign up. They're free. It also will give you a really good idea of what oneness is all about. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again,
thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to BikeRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. To become a show follower, visit www.blogtalkradio.com/BikeRadioMe and click on the follow link. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at BikeRadioMe, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me, that's BITERADIO.ME. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.